Never underestimate South Carolina secondary coach Taurean Gray's ability to spot talent and spot it early. Let's talk about it on Coffee. Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Friday, February 27th, the year of our Lord 2025, and this is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you all are having a fantastic Friday. Everybody's working for the weekend. Whatever cliche you want to throw out there, it's Friday, it's good. I know that there was some disappointment on the baseball diamond earlier this week. Obviously, we've talked about it, but it all begins anew tonight, 7 p.m. First pitch, Founders Park, South Carolina and Clemson. Josh Guenther getting the start for the Gamecocks in kind of a shakeup of the starting role. It'll be Guenther, then Amp Phillips, and then Riley Goodman on Sunday. Riley was in that spot the first 2 weekends, but Gunther's been had some good moments. Transfer from Wake Forest, really, he didn't have such a great outing against Army when they lost in long relief, but sort of liked his comments afterward. I listened to the press conference, kind of resilience. That's never going to happen again. He's pitched against Clemson before at Wake Forest, so let's see what he can do tonight. I know the pitching on this team probably isn't as good as some other teams they're going to face. But my main concern, as I've pointed out, is the hitting approach and the fact that they've got good hitters and can't hit. But we'll see what happens tonight. That game is on SEC Network Plus streaming. ACC Network Plus from Segra on Saturday, 3 p.m., then up to Doug Kingsmore at 3 p.m. on Sunday for the final game of the 3-game rivalry series. And so we'll see if the Gamecocks can snap a losing streak against the Clemson Tigers. Big series, though, I think, just in terms of everything that's been going on. I will say this. I went back and researched. When is the last time South Carolina's lost 3 games to mid-majors and before the Clemson series? And believe it or not, it was 2018 in Mark Kingston's first year. He inherited quite a squad if you look back at that roster from Chad Holbrook. That team really took a long time to get going under him his first year. And they lost, I think they lost to VMI in the opener. They lost to Charleston Southern in a game three. And they lost to Furman, which doesn't even have a baseball team anymore, 6-4 in the midweek before Clemson. They came back. They beat Clemson in game one at Founders Park, 3-2, which in my mind, if I'm envisioning if the Gamecocks win tonight, it's just the Gunther and the pitching staff have a good night and they squeak it out. I don't know. Could be wrong. It's hard to. I'll play the point spread for entertainment purposes. Sometimes in football, sometimes in basketball too, especially March Madness. Not a lot in baseball. That's hard. That's hard. It's just unpredictable. But it's an opportunity for the Gamecocks to reverse it. We'll see what happens. I've said my piece on what I think's wrong with the program. Jamie Bradford has a lot of good stuff. There's a video up on our YouTube channel, just a conversation with he and Matt Anderson. Check it out. He gets into like the in-state recruiting issue that people probably aren't aware of. I mean, I was listening to Four Quarter Friday, which, by the way, Four Quarter Friday, 8:30, Matt Smith, Steve Hall. They've got some good guests in. Shane Fiddler is an athletic director at White Knoll. He's in. Really good high school sports talk. But I was listening, and there's a big tournament down in Georgetown they have every year. And Matt had the guy on, and he was rattling through all the great players. And they were going all over the SEC, Ole Miss, Auburn. They go to North Carolina. I saw some rankings listed. They have a lot of Clemson guys. And not very few going to South Carolina. This program wasn't built on anything but the base being from South Carolina. Speaking of from South Carolina, Justin Smoak is going to be on the morning show to lead things off with Jamie Bradford today at 10 and Stuart Lake. That's always a great conversation if you love Carolina baseball. Phil and I will be along. We don't have Matt today. He had some work stuff come up for his day job. Because he is the late night Gamecock. But we're going to have a free for all Friday. We're going to open the chat box this afternoon starting at noon. So, anyway, they'll get it going at 7 o'clock at Founders tonight. I know just from having something to do on Friday night, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing, regardless of the outcome and results, how this team matches up against a really good Clemson team that's 8-0, that has it's off to a they've taken care of business. You know, they've handled what they needed to handle, and I would say they're probably the overwhelming favorite coming in. I know it hurts all of y'all and hurts me to say that, but that's just kind of the way it is right now. But things change in sports. Oh, back to the 2018 team. I got off track there. That team was going nowhere. I remember, I think they lost a midweek to PC later on in the year. Then they got hot. Again, a lot of great players on that one. And they ended up finishing 17-13 in the SEC. They did not host a regional. They got sent to ECU in Greenville, North Carolina. They swept through that regional, went out to Arkansas, which Arkansas feels like probably they got robbed of the elusive Razorbacks national championship in baseball. They haven't won one, which is crazy. But Arkansas's best team in the country that year. Carolina goes out to Fayetteville. Didn't do so well in the first one. Second game they won. Took them to three games. Arkansas beat them pretty easily in that third one. But that was Kingston's first year, and he was a win away from Omaha. That was the last time South Carolina's been in that position. The best season postseason-wise, which is really how you kind of for years judge South Carolina baseball, is how far they went in the postseason. That was the best year they've had since 2013, when Holbrook and company went up to, in his first year, went up to UNC, and God, that series lasted a week. I think John Whittle was in Chapel Hill for 10 days for the Big Spur covering it. And I remember I went on a trip covering recruiting, came home, then went back, and I was sitting in Miami watching the final game. And Carolina could have had that one and gone back to Omaha for a fourth straight year, but North Carolina was really good, and they lost. So those 2 years are the only years they've been like a game away from Omaha. They went to the Supers in, what was it, in 16? Lost to Oklahoma State at home, and it was just a weird series. And then in 2023, they went to Florida and got swept, and that was a disappointment. Gamecocks had swept the Gators earlier that year at home, but Florida kind of, as they do sometimes, turned it on in the postseason, and I think Florida went all the way to the finals and lost to LSU. So we'll see what happens with baseball tonight. But I wanted to give a shout out to Dawn Staley and her team again. 9 out of 12 SEC championships. That's the best run since Tennessee and the Lady Vols did it under Pat Summitt from 93 to 04 in league history. The 5 straight is the best mark since Tennessee did it from 98 to 04. They won 7 in a row. So you got to win 2, 3 more to break that. But clearly, when you look at the totality of the history of women's basketball in the SEC, there's been two powerhouses: Pat Summitt's Tennessee and Dawn Staley's South Carolina. I think that's awesome. I think during a time where nobody feels great about Gamecock athletics, and I know the women's basketball success for many of you, and for myself included, doesn't necessarily make up for what's wrong everywhere else. But that's something everybody can feel good about. I think in general, you know, you talk to football recruits, men's basketball recruits, things like that, and she's an attractive, you know, entity person. She's a person, not an entity. Some may say a deity, Dawn Staley. But, you know, having her here just makes everything better and easier. And the success they've had, I think, just shows you what can be done at the University of South Carolina with the right alignment and leadership and all that. It's an attractive place, you know, and we all have to keep that in mind. You know, you can't, it's bad right now, but you can't just sit there and wallow in your misery. And I think that South Carolina has a chance. And why do I think that? Well, you got to take the historical blinders off a little bit and look around. And, you know, like in men's basketball, we're in a world where, and maybe not anymore because his son took over, but where Auburn's been the 2 Final Fours, you know? Hell, they had Charles Barkley, and I don't think they went to a Final Four. One of the best team programs in the SEC. Why? Because they got the right guy and the right alignment, and leadership decided they wanted to be good at men's basketball. Alabama shuffled through coaches. I mean, when they hired Anthony Grant, everybody thought they were going to be great, and they weren't. They hired Avery Johnson. He recruited well. Everybody's like, whoa, he's recruiting, and he wasn't all that great, except for when he coached against Frank Martin. That was trouble for the Gamecocks. And then all of a sudden, they just hire the coach from Buffalo, who's this Oates guy. And then look at him, And I'm not, there's a money discussion to be had, but I'm telling you, the teams with money are not necessarily, that's not the problem. You expect Texas and Texas A&M in this era to outspend you for players, coaches, facilities, whatever. But these other schools that are on equal financial footing, that has nothing to do with money. Nothing. It has to do with alignment and plan and things like that. Now, in certain sports, is it harder? Yeah, men's basketball should be hard. Baseball, it should be easier. In this, we're going on a while now before South Carolina's been to Omaha and amongst the best in the country. So, you do lose. You don't have the luster that you once did. But that in-state recruiting thing, I probably need to shut up because I'm probably looking at it through the lens of football and basketball a little bit. But baseball's way different with that. But I mean, that's surprising. And I was talking to Bradford about it too, and he agrees. It's like, that's what this program was built on. So anyway, we'll talk about that all later. But anyway, it should be a good weekend of Gamecock athletics here in the Palmetto State. But Gamecock softball plays Marist tonight, 5 p.m. Beckham Field, and then men's basketball is back in action, 3:30 at Georgia. George, there you go. There's an example. Georgia. Hadn't been very good in basketball through the years. Now they are. Baseball too. And that's a school that really through the years invest more in football than anything else. And I mean, they're good in like historically good in tennis. They're good. They're really good in tennis, powerhouse, and some of the other sports. But then football, they've had their moments in women's basketball through the years. But what do they really fund and get behind? It's Georgia football. And baseball and men's basketball have lapped Carolina in the last couple of years. And that used to never be the case. You could usually, I mean, it was kind of a good thing for the Gamecocks. The two teams they played twice every year in men's basketball usually are like Georgia and Mississippi State. Mississippi State gets tough when you go out there. But Georgia, it was like, well, there's possible two wins. It's good that they have Georgia. And it's just not. That's not happening. And then in baseball, the sleeping giant has awoken. Everybody always talked about how Georgia baseball was kind of this, that, and the other, and because they're in a talent-laden state, they're really good. So, come on. Come on, folks. Anyway, let's get to some football, shall we? I had a chance to look at the new rivals rankings. My friend Charles Power over there does it, and a lot of respect for him. And as far as rankings go, and I had this discussion with a couple of people this week because there was some controversy about Phillip Rivers' kid committed to NC State. And the same day that happened, the Rivals rankings came out and he dropped 35 spots, conspiracy, yada, yada, yada. That doesn't happen. Now, I'll say this, I strongly disagree and wonder what the hell people are thinking sometimes when it comes to rankings. I think that sometimes the explanations, people kind of twist themselves in knots trying to explain it. And it's just like, look, right or wrong, I think this kid was not as highly ranked. We overshot him to begin with, so he dropped. Here's why. Disagree with me all you want. And so I've seen that, and then you look at who, it's like, I was looking at the state of South Carolina rankings a couple of cycles ago, and they were all cattywampus from 24/7 Sports, and I took exception with some of them. And I was asking, well, who ranked this kid a 4-star? Well, this analyst that lives in Texas. Has he ever seen the guy? Do you not? And then I this is the one time I gave feedback in the last 10 years, and I got this smart ass email back that said, "We don't, first of all," just explaining to me the rankings process that basically I created. So yes, I have issues with rankings, and everybody should, and it's football. If you sat in a meeting with 32 different NFL GMs and ask about one player, you would get a wide variety of opinions, right? It's the game. It's part of it. It's not a big deal. But there was some controversy about it. So I've been digging in, and Charles Power is a guy that I've known for years, and he's from South Carolina, so I trust him on local kids. And these aren't local kids; these are Gamecock commits from Georgia. But I do trust him. And South Carolina's two commits r rose quite a bit. Now, in the grand scheme of things, without seeing everyone else, is my gut feeling that they're too high, too low? One of them may be a little too high, one of them may be a little too low. It kind of depends on what you value. And like I said, everybody's got a different opinion. But the point here is that, like I said, at the in the opener, Torian Gray, when you kind of look at these two kids, because they committed, and I don't even know if they were ranked. 24/7 still has them as 3 stars. I don't, I'm, you know, again, I can take exception to, after watching the film, I don't know how you arrive at that. Maybe you're waiting to see them in person. I know rankings are supposed to be conservative, but I just don't understand at all. As far as this goes, I mean, and maybe not, I haven't seen everybody, obviously, but I went back and did some diving. And these two guys, Jannard Albright, who's from Effingham, Georgia, actually Springfield, Georgia, in Effingham County. That's in the Savannah area down on coastal Georgia, which has been pretty good for the Gamecocks through the years. That Savannah isn't as maybe talent laden as other parts of South Georgia, but it's close to Columbia. You just kind of go up 95 and then hit 26 and you're there. It's a quick drive. The concept with Savannah, maybe you go down Camden County, Brunswick, all the way to Jacksonville. That little stretch of 95 there is, it's the same concept as why Carolina through the years, when there's players in Jacksonville, I mean, because there's a high bust rate in that city, unfortunately. When there's players in Jacksonville, that's why Carolina's attractive to them, because it's a close drive from to home. It's close to home. That's why Carolina takes big crowds to Gator Bowl too. But Savannah, of course, is a couple hours up the road. It's even closer. This is an early commit, and he went up to number 92 in the Rivals rankings, the Rivals 300. That's inside the top 100. So without anybody else adjusting, ESPN 24/7 Sports, Albright is 162nd overall in America. Prospect wise, 17th at safety, number 18 in the state of Georgia with an 0.9320 24/7 Sports composite ranking. Here's what I like about this guy. Here's all the things I like about this guy. I love watching his film, because what he is at 6'1½, 205 pounds, is a football player. Like, you'll watch players at specific positions, and they're sort of specialists. They sort of specialize in one thing or another. And they all will when they get to college, right? But I think sometimes, more often than not, when you have a player that's just all over the field for his high school, Jazavian Currents is sort of this way, Pup Sellers is sort of this way. When that player kind of settles in, sometimes he's a bit more instinctive, his floor is higher. He can get out and do more things earlier. He can work on special teams, that kind of thing. But this guy, I mean, I probably, when he committed, understated it a bit. And he committed kind of early to the Gamecocks. So, and we'll see, all that good stuff. But yeah, he committed, he committed on Christmas. So that wasn't after his sophomore season. But you look at, or sorry, junior season. Goodness gracious, JC. One of the things that stands out about him, he's quick twitch athlete. In other words, when you're watching him play, The hands are quick, the change of direction, the instincts, the shake. It's just all there and impressive. You know, he accelerates to the ball. He accelerates time and time again on film. You know, the running back for the other team was breaking free. And you know, this is why they call it a safety. It's for safety reasons. That's why they play back there. But he's trailing the play, dude. He's way upfield. The guy's behind him, right? And this is allegedly was a running back supposed to be fast. And he's seeing open field, and Gennard beelines at an angle and just trips him. I mean, just closes like a champion, like clearly the best athlete on the field, right? From what I saw. Now, I don't know. There may be some stud five star that wasn't in the frame or whatever, but that play and several others like it, he's trailing, closes, stops it, prevents a big play. You know, one of the things that Nick Emenwore, he kind of defined safety as well when he was at South Carolina. He, you know, a lot of times he's not back there making a Nick Emenwore play. The gain instead of 6, 7 yards is probably 20 or more. Or disaster, you know. So he, you know, guys like this at safety, they really, really, really help you. He's just a natural football player, too. Looks, everybody talks about do they love football? And that's something coaches really need to dive into during the recruiting process and the relationship building process and things of that nature. But sometimes you can just tell when you watch them play because they're all over the field. You know, they're playing special teams, they're on kick coverage, they're with the ball in their hands, they're scoring touchdowns out of the Wildcat. And that's this guy checks all those boxes. I mean, it's just, I love players like this. I gravitate toward players like this, which is, you know, why I can kind of see 92nd in the country. Yeah, why not? You know, this is a low risk ranking because you're not really projecting on upside because he's already a great football player. Some guys are more prospects, some guys are more players. There's a difference between those two things. So the floor is there, and the impact this guy can make, I think is high, very high. He has a knack for making the big play. I mean, my goodness, you know, tracks the ball, quick hands. You know, at tip balls, he'll dive toward with the ball in his hands. I mentioned out of the Wildcat. You know, I saw him leap over a defender for a touchdown down near the goal line. You know, I think that that's. That's tremendous. You know, he lines up everybody, you know, leadership qualities. And the safety play is just at that position, which is where Carolina wants him, is high level. High level, you know. So that's good for him. And then I know you're probably asking, because this is important with safeties, because some of the great ones around here have been able to do this. Yes, he is a big hitter when he gets the chance. You know, there wasn't a ton of that. A lot of his film, and they're just highlights, unfortunately. There's no game film out there. A lot of his film kind of highlights his ability to track the ball, ability to play defense, his special teams, his kind of warrior. I call them warrior clips because when they're all over the field like that, that's a warrior. And, you know, but when the clip's on there where he's sticking somebody, he'll stick you. And he's a big kid at first, say 6'1", 205. So, one of the more instinctive players I've seen Carolina get on early. Again, Torian Gray got a commitment from him on Christmas. Now, since then, Texas has offered. They offered January 16th. So here we go. And then there's you know, there's some intel out there about Albright looking around, and you know, that's what you do when you end up. That's what you end up doing when you recruit guys and get them, you know, get them committed this early. So, but Torian Gray, here's the good news. Torian Gray ended up getting these guys in the boat early, and I'll, you know, let me get to Fountain first, and I'll kind of wrap it with what Torian did. Miami for Albright, Texas, is another school. You know, you always get worried with Miami because they just spend. They're ones that just spend stupid. Not, I don't want to say stupidly. It's kind of hard to say stupidly when they played for the national championship last year. But what they paid that offensive lineman, even though he's number one in the country, I think that is stupid because offensive line is just so hard to predict. Now, Gennard Albright wants a decent amount of cash. I'm not turning it down. I just think this guy, you know, this is a more of a sure thing, barring injury or anything like that. So, you know, even Hale McGranahan wrote the other day, if there are 30 prospects from Georgia better than Albright, then, you know, he'd be surprised. So, and that's true. So the early ranking there should, I think he'll continue to climb Jernard with all the services. And I think it's pretty obvious too, when you watch his junior film. I mean, I thought when I watched it for less detail earlier, that the ball player aspect of it was impressive. And then looking at it at more detail, I think I agree with Rivals. He's absolutely a 4-star. Top 100, you'd have to see who else is out there when you're ranking them in order, but absolutely a guy that I think could be exceptional at the college level. So then there's the other one that got more headlines because he went up way high to number 25, which is in 5-star range. Everybody likes that. From Warner Robins, Georgia, Northside High School. That's in Middle Georgia near Macon. You know, Warner Robins, big Air Force base. People kind of know where that's at. That's Omari Fountain. Talking to Alex Jones yesterday on Gamecock Smorgasbord, you know, he was at this 7-on-7 in Myrtle Beach, got a chance to talk to him. He said he's solid. I'd still watch out for Florida and Georgia. Measured in there at 6'3", 190. So then here's another corner. This is a corner. Albright's a safety. Fountain's a corner that is above 6'2.5". Torian Gray loves these guys, right? And the great thing about Gray as well, you know, if this kid ends up being a 5-star, oh yeah, okay, he'll take him. But if he was a 2-star, he'd take him too. I mean, that's just how he rolls. I've seen it, and not even just at South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Florida, and all the places Torian Gray's been. But Omari Fountain was the first guy, I believe, to get in and commit. I believe he was first. But he, wow, you know, I see what they're saying there too. I think the thing is with Amari is you watch the film and it is good corner film. And I was mistaken. He committed January 2nd. So he committed after Albright. But it is good corner film, you know, as far as back pedal, ball skills, all those things you look for in a corner. Well, kind of, I think what did it for the rankings was, you know, he got there and he did officially measure. And you think, well, what does an inch matter? It really doesn't. But when you're splitting hairs and ranking prospects, and one elite corner is just as good as the other, then, you know, you go in that direction. But, you know, then you get there and he's 6'3" and got these long arms and a great wingspan. Then I think the wheels start to turn a little bit. You know, and then, of course, you have Josh Dobson, who crossed the border into North Carolina to Huff High School. From Catawba Ridge, South Carolina's in the thick of it with him too, and he's definitely a 5-star. But you look at so the height's there. So when you look at the film, the ranking tracks when you combine all of those things. Physical and press coverage. You know, sometimes guys are not at the high school level. He gets challenged too. Warner Robins Northside's a traditionally really good football program and a big school. So they're playing good competition. But, you know, I was surprised that, you know, sometimes you got a really good corner at the high school level, they're not going after you. But, and I don't know who was playing on the other side, maybe somebody good, but he had a lot of times where he would have a good pass breakup because people were throwing in his area or his zone when he was in zone. But really, really good ball skills as far as being able to break up passes. I was listening to Judge Collier, and go listen to that interview on 1801 Media with him and Jimmy Francis, by the way, if you want to learn some things about Judge. It was awesome. And that's that was released this week, 1801 Media, part of the Garnet Trust. But Judge Collier was talking about getting off the field, pass breakups, that kind of thing. And it was very interesting, kind of the mindset of the corner when he was talking about it. So that's kind of the first thing I thought about when I was looking at Omari Fountain's film is, yeah, he's doing that. But kind of like Judge Collier, Judge is like, well, I get us off the field on third down and get pass breakouts. I can't hold on to an interception to save my life. And that's true. We saw a lot of dropped interceptions last year, not just from Judge, but coaches will tell you there's a reason they play defensive back and not receiver. And judging from the film, that's kind of Amari Fountain. You know, he'll come out of nowhere and break up a pass and close, and it's beautiful, right? But sometimes there's some dropped interceptions in there too, but that's perfectly fine. He gets tested. Ball skills are really good. He's a quick twitch athlete, changes directions really well. So on kickoff return, you know, he had the ball in his hands and then right there. So the feet and the upper body are moving. You know, the footwork is elite. That's what, you know, because he moves around like a guy that's like 5'10, 165, some of those little corners of water bug types, but he's 6'3, 190. And then the length, you know, long armed, that's always very helpful at defensive backs. Probably why Torian Gray likes those guys. So it tracks to, is he, I would have to look at everybody, you know, comparing him to Josh Dobson. There's some things I like about Amari better, and then some things I like about Dobson better. I think Dobson's floor is higher. He's been really good for a long time, and he's as elite as they come. Could Amari end up being more freaky? And go, yeah, probably. That's possible. But, you know, I'd have to track it. I'd have to really look to see if 25 is where I would have him personally. Now, is he good? Yes. Would I have him in the top 50 somewhere? Absolutely. And Albright in the top 100. You know, so like Albright to me, when you compare the two, the things I like about him are more kind of general, I guess, just football player stuff. He gets out there, battles, does a lot of different things, clearly loves the game, you know, and those guys make big plays, and Albright's a big play waiting to happen. You know, just a guy that can come in and ball. With Fountain, you know, Fountain can tackle too. He's not, you know, sometimes taller corners, you wonder about leverage and stuff. He can get in there and tackle. I wouldn't say he's a huge hitter, but he closed on some bubble screens beautifully on the film. Fountain's more of the guy that you just kind of, as an evaluator, kind of fall in love with because of the physical attributes. And then the film tracks too. It sets up. I mean, it does. It's not like, you know, oh, well, he's just big and can move, so you're going to really have to develop him, which Torian Gray can. He's there as a corner. Like I said, he moves around like one of those 5'10 guys, you know, and he's 6'3", 190. So that tracks too. So overall, what does this mean? Well, Carolina's got to hold on to him. Amari Fountain, there's Florida. Georgia is trying to get involved. It's a Georgia kid. I don't really recall the last time Georgia lost a guy out of Warner Robins. To be honest, I think, just in my opinion, you look at like what Georgia football values at that position. I think Carolina's gonna have a battle on their hands. Alex said he talked to him though, and he said he's hunky dory, but never believe any of that. As far as long term outcomes go, you can believe him right now; he's not lying. But things change in this business, as we all know, pretty quickly. You know, same with Albright. Getting the attention, and as their rankings go up, they're going to get a lot of attention. But the positive thing is this. It's like, you know, you can say it. I can say it. I can point to his track record. Everybody's not always going to believe it because it doesn't happen. It's not happening for their favorite team or whatever. You know, people give up complete corners, give up a completion in a game like they did a bunch against Clemson. They were on Torian Gray. I don't know. You know, they said he could find talent, blah, 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 blah. But this is kind of some validation for that related to the Gamecocks. And obviously, I think there's been validation, but, you know, as far as the ability to go out and identify guys, because in this situation, clearly nobody was looking at rankings or offer list or anything like that. They just evaluated them. You know, there was no hype. Not a lot of people even knew who these guys were when they committed to South Carolina. And they got them in the boat early. And that's good. I think that can kind of, you know, it's one thing to say it. And when you lose football games, you just sometimes don't believe it. But, you know, next time they go get an off-the-radar guy, you know that they're not really looking at all the hype. They're just evaluating him. And based on these guys that they found early – shoot, that's That's in good hands, folks. I've said before, Torian Gray, million-dollar man, worth every penny, and this is another reason why. So we'll see if they stick. Just running, if you can run out the clock and get to August, I think you're in good shape with high school guys. That's just kind of how it's normally been, but it's going to get as we move into post spring practice, it'll be the high school recruiting period. They're going to get a little hairy. Amari is scheduled to officially visit the Gamecocks on May 1st, and that has been scheduled, so that's good. With Jannard Albright, I don't think it's been scheduled yet, but he's been making some unofficial visits and all that good stuff. So we'll see kind of what happens with those two players moving forward. But you can know that they're really, really good. Really, really good. Jannard Albright was in town Saturday towards the end of January as well. So he's been on campus quite a bit. So hopefully they stick. Hopefully they stick. All right. Clemson, Carolina baseball tonight. Don't forget Four Quarter Friday coming up here at 8:30 a.m. Chief Sports app, YouTube, X. Go to their YouTube account. It's at Four Quarter Friday. Please like that. Subscribe to that. Also, hit the subscribe button here on Inside the Gamecocks. The morning show, Justin Smoke will be in. Stuart Lake will be in. And then Phil and I will have a free-for-all Friday. Sports Talk streaming tonight, taking you up to the game on the Chief app. SEC Sunday night on Sunday night. Also, the late-night Gamecock show. I think Matt will be back from his travels for work. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you enjoyed the week, folks. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll holla at you soon. See you on the show.